Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, September 28th. Today, Colorado Sun reporters Michael Booth and Tamara Chung discuss their recent coverage of how Coloradans are coping with inflation, what's happened with housing prices, and fish. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Xcel Energy. Colorado has some of the nation's best wind and solar resources, and Xcel Energy is putting them to work for you. Their nation-leading wind energy expansion is reducing our carbon footprint while producing some of the lowest-cost electricity on the Colorado grid. Learn more at xcelenergy.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Today, we take you back to September 28, 1719, when a massive expedition of Spaniards, Puebloans, and Apaches endured an early winter storm on the eastern slope of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. They feared whether they had enough food for everyone. Antonio Valverde y Cosío, the Spanish governor of New Mexico, undertook a daunting task in September of 1719. French traders in the Mississippi River Valley had supplied Comanches on the southern plains with weapons to raid the Spanish and their native allies. But Valverde y Cosío organized a massive force to retaliate. The group made an arduous crossing of Raton Pass before an early burst of winter weather halted them. But they carried on, eventually traveling 800 miles in 2 months. And while they battled grizzly bears, mountain lions, and the weather, they did not battle the Comanches. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun invites you to attend Ski Area Bosses with outdoors reporter Jason Blevins virtually on October 6th. Hear from industry experts about lessons learned over the last few seasons, challenges about climate, housing, and much more. Visit coloradosun.com/events to register for free. Next, our feature story.
Hi, this is Tamara Chung, and I'm here with Michael Booth, who covers environment and all sorts of stuff. And we're actually having a conversation today about what we've been covering. So, Michael, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on, Tamara. And yes, when you're done with our first story, I've got some questions for you.
Great. Well, today's story was the Colorado official state fish. It's making a comeback, even though everyone thought it was extinct. So, of course, my first question is going to be, how does a fish go from extinct to suddenly it's alive again?
Yes, the greenback cutthroat. And there are obviously a lot of species, varieties of trout in Colorado, but this is one that has been important. They're all important. They're all trout in Colorado's high mountain streams are really indicators, leading indicators of both health, if things are on the way on a comeback, or disease and danger from waters getting too warm, from whirling disease and other things that can attack both our fish and the fly supply that they need to survive. And so Kevin Simpson had done a great story back in early summer about all the efforts it's taken to get the greenback cutthroat back on track. For decades, they thought they were extinct, even though they used to be quite common in Colorado and one of our favorite fish. And they finally found a population that was reproducing naturally in Bear Creek, just west of Colorado Springs. And every year, a couple of times a year, volunteers and state wildlife officials would hike up that creek and go through some extraordinary measures that range from putting on special waders, warning photographers to keep their feet out of the creek where the fish population was surviving and thriving, and then extracting, using electric zappers to stun the fish, and then extracting eggs and sperm from those fish, transporting that very carefully all the way up to Leadville, where there's both a state hatchery and a federal hatchery to try to keep them isolated and then also increase the genetic stock and make it more diverse for the fish that were there. And then sending volunteers from groups like Trout Unlimited with backpacks and water-filled tank backpacks up into the high country to try to deposit them in streams that where the habitat had come back enough to host the greenback cutthroat again. And they've been doing that for years. And this year have discovered that greenback cutthroat that they were putting in Herman Gulch, which a lot of people have hiked on the way up I-70 just before the Eisenhower Tunnel, have been there long enough and are thriving enough to reproduce naturally in place, which is great news for environmental comebacks in Colorado.
So did you write the story because what happened back in 2012 when they were first discovered? Weren't they naturally producing back then, but now they're naturally producing somewhere else?
Yes. So the key is that they're naturally reproducing now in a new place. So Bear Creek was one spot, but in order to have a thriving population, obviously you need a handful, if not dozens of places where you can find them naturally reproducing and to get them off the threatened list. And they've got a couple other efforts going on, headwaters of the Cache Laputer, some other places in Colorado, in near South Park and Kenosha Pass and some of the areas around there. So this place at Herman Gulch is the first place that they have been there long enough and are doing well enough to prove that they can reproduce in place without extra help.
Okay, so they're no longer extinct, but I did hear you say or hear you mention they're threatened. At what point are they going to be okay and all those labels are going to be removed?
We have ways to go. You got to get them established in a few different places. But when you talk to people at Trout Unlimited and other supportive environmental groups, they feel not necessarily confident, but optimistic now that the greenback can be supported in enough places that they will start reproducing. You'll get them back in a lot of streams. The danger is now not just for the greenback cutthroat, but for all kinds of other trout in Colorado, is that global warming and climate change, the 22-year drought that we're in the middle of, are all tending to lift stream water temperatures to a point where fish are not surviving. And so yet more reasons to continue working on both drought and keeping water in streams and global warming and climate change, because if we're going to keep supporting these difficult populations, they're going to need help, not just locally from us, but globally.
Got it. Okay. So it seems like it's going to be some time here, but I guess at some point, I mean, are we going to be able to fish for these fish?
It's still great news. Let's just take it that way. And so say that we're in, thanks to all the volunteers out there and state wildlife officials who have been working on it and federal people who have helped fund the efforts. It's a good thing. So that brings us to some other questions about what's going on in Colorado that I want to ask you based on some of your columns in the great What's Working column that appears in the Sun on Saturday. And one thing that obviously people are talking about a lot in politics and in their daily lives is inflation. You asked people to give you some examples and took some polls of what particular items are driving them most crazy. And I love the list. What stood out to you on people saying they've really noticed some big price increases?
A very common theme in, you know, personal examples from readers is food. I mean, we've got one for hamburgers going up 30%. Another one who said milk went up from $2.49 to $3, and that must be half a gallon, right?
It's got to be, because the pricier grocery stores where it can get up to $8.99, which seems like a lot for a gallon, but yes.
But of course, someone mentioned the most important piece: bacon doubled in price.
Well, let me argue the most important. They also mentioned M&Ms, which is near and dear to my heart. And that was quite a jump, too.
That's true. 33% increase, according to Terry from Fort Collins. And that was $2.99 a bag to $3.99. Hopefully Halloween might bring us some sales on that.
And those kinds of dramatic price increases are one thing that leads the Fed to raise short-term interest rates, which in turn eventually, or actually not eventually, but pretty quickly these days, pushes up home mortgage prices. And that has changed Colorado's housing market a bit, along with some other forces that are at work. But you had said you had just looked up the latest increases for a 30-year mortgage, and it's pretty stunning where it's at right now.
Right. So looking at Mortgage News Daily, the current 30-year fixed average rate is 7.08%. So last Friday, when I was writing the column, I think it was around 6.9 or something like that. But obviously, it's been going up all year. And a year ago, it was more in the 3% to high 3% range. And remember, this doesn't mean your mortgage is going up the same amount as what the Fed increases their rates on a you know, monthly basis or something like that. But mortgage rates are impacted by these interest rates going up. But For the most part, when I've talked to folks in the real estate industry, you know, bankers have already been expecting this. They've already been raising interest rates all year on their loans. So it wasn't like when the Fed increased the rate, you know, 0.75 point last Wednesday or Thursday, I believe. It didn't go up that much overnight, but it sure seems to have gone up in a week.
Yeah, and I think we should keep in mind that for people who are shopping for a home now, it means that just from the interest rate, their monthly payment is going to be up to twice what it would have been for the same house for people who are lucky enough to refinance or get a new home even 2 years ago when interest rates were 2.8, 3.1, 3.25%. It's a dramatic difference. I'm wondering what they are saying this has done to the housing market in Colorado, people shopping.
Yeah, so it really depends on your perspective. If you own a house, if you're selling a house, or if you're buying a house. And yes, this makes it a little more expensive to buy a house, but because demand has actually fallen because, you know, loans cost a lot more. But just in, you know, Colorado, well, actually, let me look at the Denver area. And going from August to August, we were down about probably almost 1,500 home sales for the month of August compared to a year ago, August. But at the same time, prices have continued to go up. And what I mean by up is in the year-to-year comparison. I think Colorado houses still cost more than they did a year ago. The one thing about that is the list price, like how much the home sellers are putting the prices at, that has been going down for the last several months since interest rates started going up.
Sure, it doesn't help for people who are investing their money in the stock market, hoping to put together a down payment. The stock market is now in bear market territory, and a lot of stocks are down as much as 30% from a year ago or 2 years ago, and does not make it easy to come up with the $50,000 to $100,000 or $150,000 you need for a down payment.
That's true. But on the other hand, I would say if you have been looking for a house for the past couple of years and you've had to take out a loan, you know, you're not going to be competing with as many buyers. So if you have the money and you can get that loan, you'll likely get the house you want.
Well, for this and more insights into the Colorado economy and jobs and housing and inflation, and what's your least favorite inflationary item, you should sign up for Tamara's newsletter on Saturdays called What's Working. And for all fish-related news, sign up for all newsletters at The Sun and just come to the dailycoloradosun.com website, and we'll be happy to inform you on what we hope are more positive fish developments in the future.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Several Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management employees are voicing concerns about equity, diversity, and inclusion within the state agency. According to a memo released Monday, the diversity statements were made as the department investigated separate claims accusing its leadership of creating a toxic workplace environment. Many employees who corroborated workplace violations also accused the worker who lodged the original complaint of making insensitive racial remarks in the workplace. That led the agency's executive director to note several new and concerning statements related to diversity and equity, including inappropriate remarks by the original complainant. Searchers in Nepal continue to look for Telluride skier Hillary Nelson after she fell off near the peak of the world's eighth highest mountain. The 49-year-old Nelson is a world-renowned mountaineer and was skiing down Monday from the Mount Manaslu summit with her partner when she fell off the 26,000-foot mountain. Bad weather Monday, including an avalanche that killed a Sherpa, hampered rescue efforts. On Tuesday, two helicopter search attempts were unable to locate her. The search is expected to resume Wednesday if weather allows. Political action committees shell out hundreds of thousands of dollars to reach Colorado voters during Denver Broncos games in election years, and 2022 is no exception. The American Policy Fund, a political action committee aligned with Republicans, will pay $150,000 to air its ad attacking U.S. Senator Michael Bennett during Sunday's game against the Las Vegas Raiders. According to the Colorado Sun's records, that appears to be the most costly single ad in recent years. The committee already spent $75,000 to air the anti-Bennett ad during the Broncos' win over San Francisco. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.